Every now and then, the Lord sends a special blessing your way that you wasn't expecting. Such was the case this morning. We was up here playing, we always play a little bit Sunday morning, practice a little bit, and look back there, and I seen two fellows. I said, man, they got to be preachers. And they just showed up, and I didn't realize it till I was just looking at their prayer card here before the service. They might be related to R.J. and J. Paul from the Swamp People. How many know who R.J. and J. Paul is? Amen. They're from down in Houma, Louisiana. I knew he was from the South. We're in the South, but he's from further south. Amen. And just wasn't sure, but Brother Brinkner and his family are working for the Lord. He's a missionary evangelist and a missionary pilot, and God's using him. I told him to give him a few minutes just to share with you. He was a blessing to us in Sunday school. We let him have the adult Sunday school, and we know God was in him being here this morning and him being before us, because our adult Sunday school class last week, we just finished up the third epistle of John. He got in the pulpit and said, turn to John, the third epistle of John. I said, hallelujah, amen. He might not know it, but he's going to be preaching to a bunch of third John Bible scholars here this morning, because we did an in-depth study. We don't hurry through the Word of God. We take our time going through it. Brother, you come and just share what God is doing in your ministry. And at the end of the service, I'll make sure they know there'll be an offering plate on the back table. And he wasn't expecting no offering or anything, but we're going to be a blessing to God's people when they come, amen? And that's one of the things in 3 John that we learned, when it's when God sends his people to you, amen, that are further in the ministry, we're to be a blessing to them, amen? We're going to be a blessing to them this morning. So, brother, you just come and just share what God has allowed you to do.
And once again, good morning, and I don't know, maybe I should say Merry Christmas. Somebody mentioned Christmas in 100 days, but you know, we are truly grateful to your pastor for allowing us this opportunity this morning, and I don't want to take up any of his preaching time, but I just want to introduce ourselves. My name is Larry Brinker. That's my son Jonathan Brinker back there, 16-year-old, 6'1", 13 size shoe, and so you pray for us. We're hoping he quits growing about this time, but anyway. After the Lord allowed us the privilege of pastoring his people for about 15 years, he led us to be a missionary evangelist and a missionary pilot. I was already a commercial pilot, had the license and everything, but never really used it a whole lot, or for the Lord for that matter. But, and we have surrendered to that avenue, and really to share our burden with you, I think the best way to do it is through the Scripture. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 16 is our theme verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, in that verse, you see two things. You see good news and bad news. The good news, I'm going to share with you in just a second. I want to share with you the bad news first, though. And I promise I got some good news on the tail end of this, and thank God for it. The bad news is, in that verse right there, is that the days are evil. Amen? You know, we see that in various ways. We see that, first of all, in the depravity of man. Just when you think man couldn't do any worse, he does. You just turn the news on and you say, oh my, I've never heard of that in my life. I can't believe that. But man stoops to a lower level of depravity, it seems. And that's bad news. In our day and time, we see that. But also, I read some discouraging figures in my studies. The Gallup polls did a study one time and said that out of all the people in the United States of America, only 40% attend a church of some sort on a regular basis. 40%. Now that's not much. But did you know they did a study on that study? And they found out half of those folks were lying? Which means that only 20% of the people in the United States of America attend a church of some sort on a regular basis. And we wonder why we're in the mess that we're in. You see, I think that tells us a little bit something about the spiritual temperature of our nation. That's bad news. Not only that, the diminishing churches around us. I continued to read and found out and did some studies on this that literally thousands of churches are closing their doors. Now, these are of all types in our nation every year. Churches closing the doors, drying up, dwindling up. However, the population is going up and the attendance is going down. And many missionaries statistically saying we'll come back only after spending 1 year in the field. You see, we've got some issues. We've got some problems. But you know what the worst news of it all is the denial of the people of God that we have any problem at all. Many times we get comfortable and we come and we get in our spiritual routines and we sit on the pew week after week. And you know, we just kind of turn a blind eye to the world and to our nation. But may I say this? We are losing our nation. We're losing it. The fastest growing religion in the world is Islam. Okay? And so the bad news is that the days are evil. But there's good news. Amen. The good news is that God has a solution and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can redeem the time. I thoroughly believe that through the preaching of the Word of God, we will see a revival of the people of God. And when there's a revival of the people of God, there will be a renewal of the work of God. And we will share Christ throughout this nation. We'll see the Holy Ghost of God save people. People will be born again. Amen. Somebody told me one time, they said, "Preacher, we need to re-Americanize America." I said, "I know what you're saying, but I don't agree. I believe we need to re-evangelize America and this generation that has come up that doesn't know God. We need to tell them about the saving grace of Jesus Christ." Now, I said all that to kind of give you an idea of what our burden is, the burden of an evangelist. And so we have a great burden for our own nation, for the United States, to help churches, be a blessing to churches and to pastors, struggling churches, preaching revivals and conferences and doing evangelistic outreaches in the communities and things, church planters in our own nation. You know, I used to say everybody ought to bring one. Everyone ought to bring one. And I believe that, okay? But it's getting to the point, folks, today, so many churches are closing in our nation today. Every church ought to be at least planting one church in our own country in order to sustain the churches. See, but so we want to be able to do that. We want to be able to help in our own country. But at the same time, as a missionary pilot, we have a burden for missionaries on the field as well. To go out and fly out into those hard-to-reach places in Alaska and South America and the Caribbean and Africa and things like that where we have open doors and help those church-planting missionaries there do evangelistic outreaches for them. And you can pretty much boil down all of that, the aviation aspect of our ministry, into three things, three categories. There's evangelization, number one. There is transportation, number two, to help get preachers and church folks out on the mission field where they can get on fire for the Lord and bring it back to their own church. Amen. Be a blessing to those missionaries out there. But then also there's instruction. You know, as I've studied and as I've looked and talked to people throughout the years, I've found that many of our missionaries that were missionary pilots are no longer there. They're coming off the field and they're not being replaced. And there's a lot of missionaries in these areas that could use their pilot's license to help them reach those that are unreachable otherwise. Help them to reach out and get to places that are so far out there. For instance, I know a missionary in Cameroon, Africa. He went over there as a church planner to start planting churches, but it would take him a week to 2 weeks to get to other places to plant churches by vehicle because the road systems were pretty much non-existent. Eventually, he got his pilot's license. They cleared off a plateau on a mountain way out there that it was taking a week to 2 weeks to get to. He got his pilot's license, a little airplane. He can now get there within an hour. An hour. Folks, the Lord's coming soon. And we've got to redeem the time. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. And we are on deputation. And the thing that we ask for the most is that you would please be in prayer for us. Without the power of God, folks, we're just spinning our wheels. So we would ask for your prayers.
Thank you. Thank you. As you turn in, I can remind you why he needs your prayers. The Lord said, "Lo, I'll be with you always." Amen. While you're turning, I'll share something else. You kind of reminded me, talking about good news and bad news. A fellow was flying on an Italian airline. The pilot come on, and he made the announcement. He said, "Ladies and the gentlemen," he said, "I got some good news. I got some bad news." He said, "The bad news is we're lost." Everybody gasped. "We're lost." He said, "But the good news is we're making a darn good time." That's the way most people in America are. They're lost. They're rushing to and fro. Don't realize where they're going. And they think they got it all covered. They think they're just making good headway at what they're doing. Amen. But folks, without Jesus, it's all meaningless. Without Jesus, it's all pointless. Without Jesus, it don't matter how much you accumulate, how much you do, how well you do it. It's all lost anyway. Amen. If you found Psalm 130, stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word this morning. Psalm 130, verse number 1 says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for thee, Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Be seated. As we look around and see everything that's going on, Paul just mentioned right before service, asked us to continue to remember their sister in a special way. We've been praying for Jack and Paul's sister. Said he talked to her this morning, and she said she's not doing good at all. And it just seems like every time we turn around, it just seems like everything that we hoped in gets dashed, and all the things that we were desiring gets turned away. But the Bible tells us here in verse number 7, it says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord." I tell you what, today, if you're going to find hope, if you're going to find any peace, if you're going to find any consolation in anything, it's going to be placing your hope and putting your trust in Jesus alone. Amen. Trusting in the Lord. Amen. If Mary and Jesse, we was with them yesterday, got to marry this young couple and celebrate with them. If they're going to find hope for their life together in anything, it's going to be in the Lord. And they know that. And they witnessed that before us as they braided the cord, a threefold cord. It's not easy, not quickly broken. And that third cord, that third part that has to be in our life is the Lord himself. Amen. He gives us hope, and he gives us strength, and he gives us encouragement. And the psalmist is telling us there is hope in the things of God if we just seek out God and find him for our lives. There's hope in prayer this morning. I want you to know prayer's not a vain demonstration of our faith. Prayer is something we do because we know that prayer works. Amen. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist said, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication." Do you know something today? What the church needs to find is that little talk with Jesus is still the most important thing that you can do in your life after you have been saved from day to day, moment by moment. The Bible teaches us more about prayer than it does every other aspect of our life, does it not? It says, "Pray without ceasing." Amen. Pray when times are good. Pray when times are bad. Pray when times are difficult. Pray when you don't know what else to do. Amen. Pray when you don't know who else to turn to. Pray when there's no one else that'll listen. There's no one that can do for you what the Lord can do for you. Therefore, we ought to desire to pray and to have a life that is filled with prayer. A prayer is our ability to enter into the throne room of God and to pour our hearts out before Him, knowing that He hears our prayer, knowing that He's concerned about our prayer, knowing that He wants to answer our prayer, and knowing that in prayer we have a special opportunity that no one else in this world has outside of God's people. Amen. It's to be in direct contact with God, knowing that God hears us. Amen. Now, I like it that God hears us, but we need to listen to God. Amen. You know, sometimes we want to have a little talk with Jesus, but we want to be the ones doing all the talking. Amen. To have a meaningful conversation, it's got to work two ways. Amen. That David says, Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, hear me when I cry. I like Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. I like that. I sing that to myself a whole lot. You know why? Because sometimes I just need to get in touch with Jesus. Amen. So sometimes I need to know that He is listening to me, and I want Him to hear me. You know, sometimes we like to complain whether anybody wants to listen to us or not. You know, the Lord's always there. The Lord always hears us. He even listens to us when we complain. But for it to be a meaningful conversation, we need to listen to Him when He speaks to us. Amen. We have the ability to go to Him in prayer. We have the ability to have Him give attentive ears to our supplications. But we as well need to realize that we have a more meaningful conversation with Him, and we have more to talk to Him about, and we can converse better with Him when we've learned to listen to what He tells us. See, some people, God said He would give me anything I asked for, and I asked for this, and I didn't get it. Wah, 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 wah. I hear people tell me that all the time. I'm mad at God. I asked God for this, and I asked God for that, and I didn't get it, and I'm mad just because He didn't answer my prayers. Well, you know what? If you would listen to what He says, if you'd listen to the Word, amen, if you'd get into the Word and hear the whole Word, amen. If you take the whole counsel of God's Word, you'd understand that God hears our prayers when we ask according to His will. Because when we don't ask according to His will, we're asking for things that aren't for our best benefit. They aren't things that are going to be a blessing to us like the things of His will be. So sometimes He just says no. Sometimes He says yes to our detriment. Parents, you ever let your kids go ahead and do something? You told them no, you told them no, you told them no, and they kept on. So you knew it was going to hurt them. You knew it wasn't going to be good for them. And finally, you just had to say yes so that they could find out. Have you ever asked God for something and that was sorry that you ever asked God for it? Amen? It happens. God sometimes will let us, but we need to learn to pray in God's will. We need to seek out the prayers for these folks that are sick. You know, when I pray for you, and I don't know what you want me to pray for sometimes. Sometimes people say, pray for my loved one, pray for this. I want to tell you something. When I'm praying for you, I don't care what is going on in your life. I don't care what your need is. Amen. It's irrelevant. I want the best for each one of you. And the only way I know how to pray what is best for each one of you is to pray for God's will to be done. Amen. 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 Richard called me the other night and talked to me for a bit about Sue and his tumor. Sue, I'm praying for you. But I got to pray for God's will to be done. I hope God heals you. I hope God lets everything work just perfect. But I hope it's all according to God's will. Honey, you know I'm praying for you. Battling cancer again. Getting a port put in this week. Started chemo again. Oh, but the greatest thing that ever happened in her life is for God's will to be done. Amen. Amen. For God's will to be done. That's what she wants. Amen. That's all she asks for. God's will to be done. You know, we can find hope. We can find peace. We can find solace in the midst of our storms when we learn to trust Him enough. Amen. To trust that His will is a perfect will for our lives. And to pray, Lord, Thy will be done. Lord, I want You to hear me. Lord, I want You to know what's going on in my life. I want You to know where my heart is. But Lord, I want Your will. I want Your will to be accomplished in my life. There is hope in prayer because we're praying to the one. We're praying to the one that can never lie. We're praying to the one that can never fail. We're praying to the one who loves you more than anybody else does and cares for you more than anyone else, who will never leave you nor forsake you simply because He cares for you. Amen. There's nobody that wants to hear from you more than the Lord does. Amen. And there's nobody that wants to do for you more than the Lord does. Yes. But He wants to do what's needed. There is hope. There's hope in prayer. But look in verses 3 and 4. There's hope in confession. Some of us walk around with things in our life that ought not to be there, and they're hindrances to our relationship with the Savior. There are hindrances to our prayer life and our getting into the throne room of God, because we have sin in our life and there's things that ought not to be there. Look at what He said. But if Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. That David said, look, Lord, we all got sin in our life, and we know that if You're just going to account to us as sinners, there's none of us that can stand before You. There's none of us that are worthy. You know, sin has left us all separated. Sin has left us all unworthy of the blessings of God. But David didn't stop there. He said, there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. Hey, man. Man, I don't know why y'all got real quiet right there. That ought to make a bunch of redeemed God's people want to shout the house down. There's forgiveness with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Turn over into Psalm 32 for a minute and look at what David said over in Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Praise God. When God forgives it, He covers it. Amen. When God forgives it, it's done. Man, we heard Brother Brown preach. I got to preach down in Emerton on Monday night. I kicked off their Jubilee. And praise God, I preached. And then man of God got up and preached after me. And he preached about sin. He said, he said, I can't find it. And you can't either. Amen. Or neither can you, wasn't it? Amen. And he was preaching about God's forgiveness of our sin, how He covers it, how He hides it, how He makes it disappear. And there's no place that you can go and find my sin in the sight of God. You might bring it up, but God's forgot about it. You might bring it up, but God's forgiven it. You might bring it up, but God has done covered it. Praise God. That's a blessed man and that's a blessed woman. That's somebody right there that ought to shout the house down. Amen. Praise God. He said, blessed is the Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Praise God. I'm glad tonight when he forgave me. He took it all away, Brother Joe. When he forgave me, he don't keep bringing it up. When he forgave me, and when he cleansed me, and when he put it under the blood, he didn't keep saying, you remember that? You know who's doing that? That's the devil comes along. He says, don't you remember? Don't you remember this? Don't you remember that? And we just got to remind him, don't you worry about it. It's under the blood. My God has forgiven it. My God has forgotten it. My God has moved it as far away as the east is from the west. And devil, you need to quit trying to discourage me. You need to try to quit trying to get me down in the dumps and taking away my joy. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. And praise God, I'm a blessed man. Amen. But then look what he says down in verses 5 and 6. He said, I acknowledged. Why was he a blessed man? What brought about this blessing? He said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. You know what? When we get to the place where we'll realize who we are, we'll realize what we are, we'll realize where we come from and realize where we're going and just get honest with ourselves and get honest with God. Praise God, we can become blessed people. Because the reality of it is we're no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down sinners that deserve to be in hell with our back broke. But because of God's grace and mercy, we can have forgiveness of our sins. Our sins can be covered. Our sins can be taken away. Our sins can not be imputed unto us. Because of the blood of Jesus, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. And thou, amen, I like this. He didn't say, I hoped you did. He said, you did, amen. He didn't say, it might have happened. He said, and thou, it did happen, forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah, you know that word Selah, when you read it in the Psalms, it means you need to take note of this. I acknowledge my sin. You got sin in your life today. Let me tell you what, there's a place right here where you can get rid of it. There's a place right here where you can deal with it. There's a place right here where you can find hope. You can find joy. You can find peace. You can find the help that you need. His name is Jesus. Amen. He said, I acknowledged my sin. Amen. And thou forgavest my sin. I acknowledged it. I confessed it. I said that I'm a sinner and you're a righteous God and I need what you got because I don't have it. Amen. And God gave it and that was all he needed. Amen. I tell you what, there's hope in confession. Man, when we want to get in touch with Jesus, we need to get real with self. He said, I acknowledge my sin. I didn't hide it. Amen. I confess my sin, and God forgave it. Amen. I'll tell you what, if we would learn to deal with things and learn to deal with self because of who self is, I don't care who you are. You see that preacher that there, right back there that was just standing here a few minutes? You know what he is? He's a no-good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down sinner that deserves to be in hell with his back broke as well. But he's been saved by the grace of God. His sin is under the blood. Amen. None of us are any better than anybody else. We got to acknowledge me. You know what I got to deal with every morning? I got to deal with me. Amen. You know what I have problems with most of the time? It's with me. Amen. You know who I am and you know what I am. And praise God, God does too. And he knows that when I come to him and when I'm earnest and when I'm serious and when I hide not my sin and I confess it, praise God, he said he's going to forgive it. Amen. The psalmist says there's hope in the Lord. There's hope in prayer. There's hope in confession. There's hope in being honest with yourself. You'll never be honest with God until you get honest with yourself. Amen. You can't get saved until you get honest with yourself. Amen. You can't find forgiveness of sin until you get honest with yourself. Amen. You got to get honest with God. Honest with yourself. And then you can find everything that you need. It's right there all the time in the Lord. But look at what he says in verses 5 and 6. Verses 1 and 2 said there's hope in prayer. Verses 3 and 4, there's hope and confession. Verses 5 and 6, there's hope and patience. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. You know, one of the hardest problems in the society today, we got an instant society. I couldn't remember R.J. and J. Paul. I couldn't remember their names. I knew they were from Houma, but I couldn't remember them. I turned around to my brother and said, "You got your phone?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Let me have that for a minute. I need to look up one of these deep theological questions real quick." Hey, man. And I jumped on the internet, and there in just a second, I had their names. Hey, man. And y'all just thought I was all that smart, didn't you? Hey, man. I had it that fast. We are a society that is become used to instant gratification. You know, when I was a kid, you know, if you wanted something cooked, you had to wait for a while. Now you throw it in a box up on the wall and push a button, and in a couple of minutes, dinner is served. Amen? I mean, I don't care what it was. It just seemed like when we was kids, it just took longer for everything. Amen? I don't care what it was. When we was little, we didn't have inside facilities. We took a bath on the back porch. I still got the old wash tub that we used to bath in the barn up the house. Heat the hot water up on the stove. You take it out. I'm not lying. This is the truth. He's sitting here to tell you. Dump it in. Of course, I was privileged. Me and my youngest brother, there's 9 years between me and him. He's the next oldest one. We were the two littlest ones, so we got to go first. You mean you didn't change water every time? No, that was a lot of work. That took time. You had to heat more water up. You had to bring it out. You had to dump it in the tub. Hey, man. Just getting baths on Saturday night to get ready for church on Sunday morning, it was a chore. Hey, man. Now we go run in the bathroom, turn the shower on, and as we're flicking things off, you know, the water's heating up. You jump in the shower. And I can come in out of the barn. I could be covered in grease and just as dirty and nasty as can be from working on something. I have to be somewhere at a certain time, and I'm good for. I can be dressed and changed, showered, dressed, and in my suit now in about 20 minutes, and out the door if I need to be. I've done it a multitude of times. Man, back then it took some time. Mom washed clothes. I've still got her old washboard that she had. I've got the original washboard. But then she got her a wash machine. But it wasn't an automatic wash machine. It was one of them old things that sat on the porch and had a ringer. He called me one time and seeing how close I could get to that ringer. Sucked my arm up in that thing. Hey, man. Washing clothes wasn't no just go throw it in the thing and turn the timer on and set the cycle and go. It took some time. You see, we become a society that's used to instant gratification. Amen? We don't want to wait on anything. Everything now happens fast. I mean, you want to know something? You don't have to go drag a whole series of encyclopedias out and look to this book and then look from this book over to the next book and then go from that book back to the next book because it kept referring you back to something else to find the answer to something. You just type it in the internet and you got more information ready to tip of your fingertips than what they had when they launched the first rockets into space. When they put the first man on the moon, you've got more technology and information at the tip of your fingertips on a cell phone. We're used to instant gratification. And then we pray to God, and we want God to move, but we want God to move in our time. The psalmist said, there's hope in waiting on the Lord. There's hope in waiting on God's time. There's hope in waiting on God's purpose. Young lady, there's hope in waiting on God's man to come your way. Young man, there's hope in waiting for God to send the right young woman to your door and to you and to come over and to say to you, hey, good looking. Amen. We found out that's how it all started last night. Amen. But there's hope in waiting on the Lord. But we don't want to wait. We want to do it in our time. We want to do it our way. We want everything to work according to our plan. How about we start learning to wait on the Lord? Well, before we go to Isaiah, over in Romans chapter number 5, Romans 15, verses 4 to 6. He says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. The things that were written, what? The Word of God. Amen? The Word of God. You know what the Word of God contains? It contains promises to His people. You know what the Word of God contains? It contains illustrations. It contains demonstrations. It contains pictures of how God has dealt with His people. It tells us how good it is to learn to wait on the Lord. Because when we try to do things in our own time, when we trust in our own abilities, we trust in what we know instead of what God knows, we wind up in trouble. How do you know that? Because it was written aforetime, and I've read it. You remember when Joshua and the leaders of Israel received the ambassadors that come from the city of Gibeon? They got in a hurry, and they went ahead and made a league with them instead of waiting on the Lord, instead of praying to the Lord, instead of seeking the Lord. Amen? Where'd that get them? That got them a problem. That got him a problem that was always there. A problem that came to haunt them even up until the time of David. You see, they were still being haunted by the problem of the Gibeonites. Why? Because they didn't wait on the Lord. We see David as he became king, and as the Philistines attacked, after he'd become king and he sought the Lord, he said, Lord, should I go? Lord said, yeah, go ahead, go down. I'll give you a victory. Philistines come again. David said, Lord, shall I go? Lord said, well, you're not going to go the same way you went the first time. Lord said, this time, he says, you're going to come around behind them. And this time, you're going to wait for a moving of the wind in the mulberry trees to hear the rustling in the tops of the mulberry trees. Well, that just sounds crazy. What kind of a battle plan is that? I don't know. It's God's battle plan, and that's all I need to know. And if it's God's battle plan, I'm going to wait on the Lord to move in the tops of the mulberry trees and trust Him in His time. Why? Because the Bible tells us, over in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31, a very familiar scripture to each and every one of us, a very familiar scripture. You ought to memorize and get it hid in your heart and write it on the tables of your heart. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What makes the difference between those who move in their time and those that move in God's time? The ones that move in God's time are the ones that feel the blessings of life. The ones that move in God's time are the ones that have the hope for life that they're facing. Life is difficult. But it's a whole lot better when we do it God's way. Amen. There's hope in waiting on the Lord. He hasn't answered my prayer. He hasn't taken away my disease. He hasn't done this and he hasn't done that. He hasn't given me the job. He hasn't given me the relationship. He hasn't given me the money I need. Don't worry about it. Just wait on him. Amen. Just wait on him. How many were up at Christmas with us last? A few of you went up there at Brother Chris's church last week. Brother Chris got up and started telling how God brought that work about. We sung at the homecoming up there last Sunday. How God provided that building, a church that somebody found was going up for auction. Amen. They bought that church, what, $54,000? Or $50,000, and they needed $4,000 for closing. They didn't have it. Old Methodist church. I mean, it's got the beautiful church. Got the tin ceiling, and it's just a beautiful little church. Just over $50,000. They needed $4,000 that they didn't have because that depleted their savings account. And they were wanting to go to settlement right away. They were wanting to settle in just a couple of weeks, and they were just going to, each one of them borrowed money, chip money in, do whatever they needed to do to make settlement, and settlement kept being delayed. Settlement kept being delayed. Settlement kept being delayed. Settlement kept being delayed. When settlement finally come, guess what they had in their bank account? They had the money they needed. I think he said they come out with 15 cents left in the account. God supplied. God supplied. Everything that they needed, God had supplied. They wanted to put some nice chandeliers up, and he got to looking on the internet, and he found this company that done chandeliers, and they had looked at some, I think, and had missed out on getting some that they had looked at, and they were kind of getting frustrated and discouraged because they wanted to get these chandeliers up and some sconces on the wall and everything before the thing come, and they contacted this company that does restorations and hasn't thought maybe the guy might have some old stuff that they could get, and they wanted real chandeliers. They didn't want the little plastic things and all that fade and yellow and all that. And then, make a long story short, they called this company up, and the guy said, well, yeah, come up and look. He went up and looked, and Chris seen this chandelier. He said, well, how much is that one? That guy said, that's $6,800. He said, oh, I done wasted your time. He said, we're going to have to change up. And he got to talking to the guy about the Lord and talking about, the guy got talking to him about, you know, him being a preacher and being called to preach and talking to him about the Lord. And Chris kept telling him, well, I'm wasting your time. The guy said, well, just hold on. He kept talking. And finally the guy said, let me talk to my partners. He said, I can do better now. They needed, what's there, three of them? They needed three of them. And he says, we was looking for some wall sconces too. He said, how many you need? He said, nine. He says, you ain't going to believe this. He said, we got nine. This place does restorations. They're restoring. They had to restore all these. He said, it just so happens that we have nine wall sconces. Nine, not ten. We have nine, not eight. We have nine wall sconces that match those chandeliers. And not only that, we also have a smaller chandelier that would hang over your pulpit area that matches these. Nine, not seven. Nine, not eight. Nine, not ten. They had nine. And Christ said, Chris said, that's all well and good, but we just can't afford this. He said, let me talk to my partners. So the guy talked to the partners and called them back up and said, listen, I'll tell you what we'll do. He said, we'll sell you all these lights for $4,000. $4,000. Chris said, I don't know how, I don't know where, but we'll get the money. He said, we went up. He said, I had $2,000. He said, I give him $2,000. He didn't want to take it. He said, just wait till you get the money. He said, no, I want to give you a down payment, you know, give you money towards us so you know that we're serious and, you know, we appreciate what you're doing. Give him the $2,000. Well, I kept waiting for a bill, He never got a bill. He finally called the guy up and said, man, been waiting on the rest of this bill so, you know, we can, you know, get this all taken care of. He says, Don't worry about it. It's taken care of. I would venture to say probably $20,000 to $24,000 worth of lights. Beautiful lights to hang in this beautiful building that God had provided because they have learned to wait upon the Lord. They wanted things in their time, and God said, no, it's not in your time, it's in my time. You wait on me, and you'll find that if you wait on me, I can bless your situation. If you wait on me, I can give you hope. If you wait on me, you'll find that I'm never too late. I'm never too early. I'm always on time. Amen. And aren't you glad that he is? Amen. Amen. Man, I tell you what. Good in here this morning. People ain't looking at their watches. I haven't seen anybody turn around and look at the clock. That's good, because it don't bother me a bit. Hey, man. Ask Bryson. He's been hanging with me and Miss Deb. We had him down to service down in Smyrna here a few weeks ago, and the service didn't end until 10 o'clock. I had to call Pam and Adam and say, look, the service just ended. We're not going to have him home till sometime after 11. It's all right. We had him out with us Monday night. We was down there at Emerton. I preached, and we sung, and some other folks sung. Another fellow preached, and we didn't get out of there until after 10 o'clock either. I said, hey, I hate to tell you this. It's after 10 o'clock. Amen. It's so good in here this morning. We might just have to let the brother come and preach again. I don't know. Wait. Now to start looking at the clock. Amen. But you know what? God has hope for our lives. God has the hope that we need. He's the source of all that. We have no hope outside of him. We can hope in our family and our friends, but they can't do nothing for us short of what anyone else can. They're flesh and blood. They got limitations just like you and I do. But we can hope in the Lord. Look at what he says here in verses 7 and 8. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. With him and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let Israel, let God's people hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there's mercy. For with the Lord there's mercy. Folks, we've been getting bombarded. Like I told you, I keep hearing, what's happening to our church? What's happening to our church? It's life. But let's not let life get us down. Let's not let the valleys that we go through discourage us. Even in the valley, God's good. Amen. Let's not let the trials take away our hope and our peace. Because the Bible said we're going to be filled with trials. Jesus said so in John 16:33. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica there in 1 John and our 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And he says, we're appointed unto tribulation. Why? Because it's life. Amen. It's life. It's going to happen. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus said, in me you can find peace. Jesus said, in me there is hope. In me there is a way past all these trials and tribulations. In me there's hope beyond the grave. In me there's hope of life eternal. In me there's hope of a city that is prepared, a home that is made ready for each and every one of you. In me you have all that you need. And quit looking at everything else. And look to me. Look to me. Some of you are facing battles here today. Man, I'd invite you to come. I'd invite you to come this morning and call upon him. There's hope in talking with him. Come this morning and make sure that there's nothing that stands between you and your Lord this morning. There's hope in confession. Come this morning knowing that you can wait upon him. come this morning, because there's hope in Him and in His mercy. You know what mercy means? You don't get what you deserve. Grace means you get what you don't deserve. But mercy means you didn't get what you do deserve. There's mercy with the Lord. There's redemption. There's restoration. There's peace. There's hope. And there's help, Brother Jim, Sister Mary. Let's get it.